Situation update, January 27th, 2022. This is Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me today. And as you can hear, my voice is continuing to mend, suffering the catastrophic voice box wreckage of the last week and is what I experienced, as you know. The healing has continued at a miraculous pace, and I thank you for all your prayers and support. And I'm going to be here maybe for 30 minutes with you today, go over some important things, but I'm not going to drive my voice too hard since I'm still in the healing process. But in any case, we are back at it. And by the way, some people have asked me, hey, why did I even post that podcast on Monday, the silent one, with the message that said, you know, my voice has been just wrecked and I'm probably going to have to take 1 or 2 weeks off. Like, why did I even post that? Why did I just post nothing? Well, one thing that you may not know is that those of us who are kind of prominent in the truth community, if we stop broadcasting or writing articles or posting for even 24 hours, there's a whole group of people that start freaking out and they start calling. And the same is true with Steve Quayle. Steve was telling me one time he was late posting the headlines on stevequayle.com. I think it was like 6 hours late. People started to flip out. I'm like, oh my God, you know, is Steve okay? And he had just had, I don't know, the doctor's appointment or something. He was late and people started flipping out. And I've heard this from other people as well. And I also remember a few years ago, there was a time where I wasn't even doing podcasts. And if I hadn't posted anything for, I don't know, a week or so, rumors would start to spread that I'd been killed, you know, and like, haven't heard anything from the health ranger. They must have taken him. So today everything's compressed. The timeline's even more intense. So if I vanish for one day that's unexpected, people notice it, which by the way, I feel blessed that people are that attentive and concerned about my well-being and what we do here. And so I'm not complaining at all. I'm actually very thankful that people care this much. It's just that in return, I have a responsibility to keep people posted, even if it's something like, hey, I can't talk today. And so that's why I did that. I just want people to know I'm okay. But even after that, though, there were, of course, for a little bit, some rumors saying, well, they must have got him, because he's not talking anymore. They shut him down. They must have threatened him, or, you know, things like that. And nothing like that happened. They tried to get me, so to speak, with the nanoparticles. And they did interfere for some period of time. Nevertheless, we have nutrition on our side. We have God on our side. We've got Mother Nature. We've got wisdom. And we have the hearts of real human beings. So that's why we are going to be victorious against all of this demonic destruction of our world. And, you know, they're basically firing, you know, mortars, artillery at us. They're dropping bioweapons, nanoparticles on the cities. Who knows with what frequency. And this whole thing is never going to end, obviously, by complying with it. It's only going to end when we defeat the evil entities that are trying to pull it off. And that's one of the big lessons, well, discussion topics for today is, well, let me start with the phrase that, this phrase comes out of the Q community, but we're not talking about this from any kind of a Q perspective, but it's just a phrase you've probably heard, and it is that present proves past. You ever heard that? I've heard Q people, or I've seen Q people post that, and I think normally they're talking about, like, you know, Q posts from 2 years ago or 4 years ago and how those older posts come true 4 years later. So, like, the confirmation of that event in the now, they say, proves that Q was a real, I don't know, pro-Trump entity 4 years ago. That's not the context that I'm using it in. We're going to talk about something larger. The present proves past. Now, what do we know about the present that none of us probably knew, or very few of us realized was true, even just a few years ago? And these are going to be some pretty dark topics here. And this is not a gratuitous dwelling on doom, but rather an honest look at where we are so we can, of course, defeat these evil destroyers. But what we now know today, and again, a lot of this seemed impossible a few years ago, is that there is a pedophile network, for example, run by the global elite. They are almost all pedophiles. They do child trafficking, you know, Epstein Island and all that. I mean, it's all real. And then, yeah, they took out Epstein after he got arrested. It covered up everything with the Maxwell trial. She's probably going to get off because going to have a retrial because they rigged one of the jurors to have a hidden bias that then just happened to come out. So her whole conviction is probably going to get thrown out. I mean, these are powerful elite figures, right? Like Prince Andrew's on the hook right now with, I think, another court case. A lot of powerful people, they're going to cover it up every chance they get. But the whole child pedophile trafficking network has always been real. In addition, organ harvesting and the organ trafficking industry has also always been going on through our entire lifetimes. And so I remember many years ago, it might have been 15, 20 years ago, I was having a conversation with a doctor, a friend of mine, who has since died, because he was really into big pharma. But I was telling him about organ harvesting in China. He didn't believe it was real. He also was a Democrat, by the way. He only believes authority sources. And if organ harvesting wasn't written up in the New York Times, and by the way, the New York Times is funded by the CCP. I hope you know that. They actually run ads for communist China, full page advertorials. But my doctor friend, he didn't believe anything unless it was in the New York Times. And so, you know, just like gullible Democrats, they're incapable of thinking for themselves, even though they're otherwise highly intelligent people. But now we know organ harvesting is very widespread. I mean, it's a global thriving market. And, you know, the cruelty against human beings, it's and against animals. Think about the CDC escaped Ebola monkeys. I feel so sorry for those monkeys, you know. I'm still going to offer them refuge here at my ranch in Texas. We'll hide them if they can make it here. You know, like I said yesterday, tell the monkeys, come to the Health Rangers Ranch. I got free bananas, and I got a place to hide you. And you can earn your keep by riding the lawnmower in the spring, you know. A monkey on a mower. At least they would be useful. And then when they're done with that, they can go terrorize the donkeys. Give them back a little bit of grief. Anyway, I'm already getting distracted, but it's all real. The organ harvesting is real. Child trafficking is real. The profiteering mass murder of humanity is real. So corporations have been profiting from mass murder for a very long time, even before the existence of America. You got to go back to Europe and, you know, the UK. And it's a lot of evil that came out of the UK, folks. Pretty much the British Empire is the source of a lot of this demonic evil. The adrenochrome, all of it. That gets into David Icke material, which is worthwhile to review, because if you look at the bloodlines of who's been dominating the world from the history of the UK, some of the most evil, you know, vampires and demons, what they are, but their influence continues to drive much of society today. But the corporations have always murdered for profit. The same thing was true of wartime corporations. you know, JP Morgan was loaning money to the Nazis. IBM was selling key punch machines to the Holocaust administrators, you know, to keep track of the how many Jews they had murdered on any given day. It was all IBM technology. I mean, it's all, that's just history. And you know, look at the history of IG Farben, which became Bayer and Basif and another company. They were making Zyklon B. They were doing, you know, medical experiments. All right. So the reason I'm mentioning all this, there are horrors of humanity that perhaps many people would never have believed until they have now seen what's happening with COVID and the vaccines and the evil of the government and the evil of the corporations. So now the present is proving what a lot of us suspected for a long time, but couldn't necessarily put our finger on it or couldn't prove it. But now we can look back at the past thanks to our present knowledge, and we can realize that we have always lived in a world of incredible demonic evil. It's just that they hid it very well for a very long time. They hid their agenda, and now they're no longer hiding it. So now it's all out in the open. You know, the drag queen story hour, we're coming for your kids. You're going to have the dancing Desmond, you know, what, 12-year-old strip boy dancing in a bar in New York City and the media applauding it. You know, you're going to have LGBT themes all over society. You're going to have demons and witches and TV shows for kids on Netflix that teach them how to, like, hail Satan or whatever. And it's all out in the open now. So we're past the point where they're trying to hide it. But I want you to look back at your life and think about how little you knew. I mean, I was in the same boat. How little I knew. I remember when I was in college in the early 1990s, I remember thinking, I thought Bill Clinton was a pretty hipster cool dude because CNN had him playing the saxophone, right? And so when I went to college, there was no internet. And there was no independent media. There was nothing. It was just like three channels. You had CNN and you had NBC and you had like local stations for weather and cats caught in trees and things like that, car wrecks. And that was it. So you didn't even have an alternative information source to go to. And at that time, there were people who knew what was happening, but they were considered super fringe. And radio, AM radio in particular, started to catch on in the early 1990s or late 80s and early 90s, kind of Rush Limbaugh and others. But Limbaugh never got into crazy sounding theories, you know, like organ harvesting and child trafficking, any of that stuff. He was actually a pretty mainstream guy. You would have to go to sort of the darkest corners of AM radio or early bulletin board systems to start learning anything about the truth of what was going on. So when you and I grew up, we were living in the same hellscape world that exists now. I mean, they were doing all the same things back then. They were harvesting organs from babies, you know, the abortion industry. They were trafficking. They were organ trafficking as well, in addition to child trafficking. They were doing sex trafficking. They were, you know, all kinds of scandals, corporate mass murder campaigns. I mean, freaking Monsanto and Agent Orange and all that. It was all going on all around us. It's just that there was no critical mass of voices to speak out against it, because the demonic globalists at that time had total power over the world's information. And it was CNN and the New York Times and Washington Post and whatever else. And there were no other alternative options. So then, of course, as the internet began to mature and take off, the powers that be failed to fully anticipate the power of the freedom to think, the power of awakening, the power of the interconnectedness of human beings, and how it would clear the cobwebs in the minds of so many people, and it would connect people with their human side or their divine side. And it would begin the process of awakening humanity, a process that would take several decades. But here we are, like 25 plus years into the existence of the internet. Well, I guess technically about 30 years, really, or very nearly 30. And we've been under about 5 years of intense censorship and blacklisting, deplatforming, which is the effort of the demonic globalists to reassert monopolistic control over all the knowledge and all the so-called, quote, facts that drive the narratives of society that keep people enslaved and keep people blinded from the truth that their children are being kidnapped and tortured and bloodletted and trafficked, or that, you know, their unborn babies are being organ harvested while they're alive and used for medical research and things like that. So that they've got to take away, the globalists, they've got to take away the knowledge that the connectedness of the internet has allowed to be shared and unleashed across the world's population. And this is why they've worked so hard to roll out so-called fact checkers, which are just corporate liars. You know, Reuters is the propaganda arm for Pfizer. You know, NewsGuard browser extension. All it is, it's really narrative guard. It's guarding the narrative of the globalists and painting all alternative sources as untrustworthy, right? So all these efforts, the fact checkers, the censorship, the news guard, everything else, this is all designed to put humanity back under the spell of ignorance. Go back to sleep, sleepy time, humanity. You know, that's what's going on, and it is a spell, actually. It's sorcery. But I think they moved too late. And they have they failed to do this, because what's happened is, thanks to the efforts of, you know, so many entrepreneurs and inventors and people like you and I, we have successfully created a parallel series of internet destinations. Despite all the censorship and deplatforming and defamation, we have these alternative platforms, like, you know, Brighttown.com, Brighttown.social, and BitChute, and Parler, and Getter, and Gab, and, you know, everything else is out there. And so there's been a steady migration of people out of the big tech platforms that lie to them and try to control everything, over to the free thinking platforms, which is the new internet. Same things happen with media. So CNN's lost viewership like crazy. New York Times lost massive readership. Same thing true with Washington Post, and on and on. Where are those people going? Well, they're going to independent or alternative media websites like my site, Natural News, or many other independent media sites. And then the more the mainstream media tries to threaten people and say, oh, how dare you think these thoughts that the vaccine might not be perfectly safe, or how dare you think that COVID didn't come from the meat market or that it came out of a lab? How dare you? The more they do that, they're just driving people away. So now there's a critical tipping point that has been surpassed. And at this point, the awakening cannot be stopped. The awakening cannot be stopped. Understand that the demonic globalist entities, they realize this too. They cannot stop the tide from turning against them. And this truckers convoy that's taking shape in Ottawa is another great example of this. Reportedly about 1 million people gearing up to 50,000 trucks are gathering in Ottawa this weekend. They're going to demand an end to the vaccine mandates. And I don't know what else is on the agenda, but it's going to be the largest protest in memory in Canada. You know, Canada is not a huge country. I think their population is only, what, 39 million or something in that range? It's It's roughly about 1/10 the U.S. population, or maybe 1/9, something like that. So this is a huge outpouring. And a similar thing is happening in countries all over the world. And the U.S. is starting to wake up as well. So here's the question. If you're the globalist and you currently control every corporate media outlet, you control nearly every government, you control practically every science journal, every big tech platform, and so on and so forth, what is your next move when you realize that the awakening is now self-replicating? The awakening is gaining traction so rapidly, you can't stop it. You tried, you can't stop it. Your depopulation weapons are working, but it's going to take years for the mass die-off to kick in. So what do you do as the globalist now to maintain power? What do you do? Because the answer to that question is what they're about to do. That's like whatever you're thinking right now, we could go through some possibilities. They're going to do that. That whatever crazy, insane idea, like, oh, they're going to run a cyber warfare attack on the financial system and blame it on, who knows, North Korea, and then, or blame it on conservatives, you know? In fact, what was it? DHS put out an alert, I think it was 2 days ago, said, oh my God, there are credible threats against the power grid from what? Extremists, conservative extremist groups that they're plotting to take down the power grid. And as I was reading the DHS press release, I was thinking, wow, this is Homeland Security setting the narrative for their own false flag operation to take down the power grid. They just have to have a scapegoat. So when they do it themselves, they say, well, see, it was the militia people or whoever they're going to try to blame. They did it. They took out the power grid, and that's why we're all in the dark. So this is kind of the equivalent of when you were a kid and you were playing a game of Monopoly with your friends. Because as kids, we did that kind of thing, right? Just sit around wasting time rolling the dice and playing with paper money, which I guess pretty much describes how the Federal Reserve operates today. But if you had friends that didn't like to lose, and we all had a friend like that, what would they do? They would find a way to like topple the board. You know, if they were winning the game, nothing bad would ever happen to the board. But if they were losing badly, like suddenly when you're not looking, someone throws the cat onto the board and disturbs everything, and no one can keep track of who had what money or which properties or which houses and hotels and so on. So that's exactly what the globalists are going to do in their own way today. They're going to disrupt the board because they have to reassert a new emergency in order to seize control once again. So one of the reasons they would be targeting the power grid is because the communications infrastructure depends on a functioning power grid. So what they have to do desperately as globalists is they have to isolate people and prevent people from communicating. So this is part of the reasoning behind the lockdowns and the quarantines, was to just separate people, and the closing of the churches and the closing of the bars and so on. Even the libraries, like you can't even meet up and talk. Well, that was all by design. But remember in California, I think you could still go to strip clubs and things. They kept those open, but not the churches. Churches might be dangerous. But pole dancers, that's normal for California. But now they have to do this electronically because they realize that people are still communicating through email and Zoom calls and, you know, whatever else. And the only way to effectively take down the entire communications infrastructure is to, well, I mean, they can attack the telecom infrastructure itself, but it's even more effective if they attack the power grid. Because then, by taking down the power grid, they also take down crypto. But I think they've made another strategic mistake. I think they've underestimated the local resiliency of, you know, the human race, especially people who love freedom. I don't think that they realize that we can rebuild communities from the ground up locally with trade, you know, free trade and barter, local currencies. We can have our own local currencies or state currencies. We don't need dollars or Federal Reserve notes. We can run our own local security and law enforcement and have our own local medical rules, so to speak. And maybe we'll just choose to legalize ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, maybe even cannabinoids and other herbal extracts. So yes, when they take down the power grid, they are going to achieve an acceleration of the extermination effort. There'll be a lot of people who will die because they're unprepared. But among those who are resilient or prepared or ready for this, this is only going to spur the instant birth of local, I don't know what to call them. I don't really want to say resistance communities. It's not even about resistance. It's about replacement. It's about, hey, the old system's obsolete. The old system's broken. It's failed. It's become a suicide cult. The government have become terrorists. They attack the infrastructure, try to bring America down. So what do? We disconnect from that old system and we build new systems rooted in abundance, prosperity, morality, all the things that matter, all the things that make human civilization sustainable. But we have to be prepared for this to take place and having as many backups as possible during this so we can still function is a smart thing. And I should mention here that don't forget we have upcoming February 3rd, the satellite phone webinar. It's a free webinar. You can register at satphonewebinar.com. I'll be participating. And it's a how-to of how to use sat phones, why you might want to use them, what are the advantages, how do they work, where can you use them, how do you send and receive texts with sat phones, and how is it they don't track your location, things like that. If you tried to register and it was full, they've expanded it now, so there's space available. So just go to satphonewebinar.com and register, and I'll see you. I think it's at 12:30 Central on February 3rd. That's a Thursday. Yeah, it's next Thursday. So that'll be very useful. You'll learn a lot about sat phones. And then don't forget about Dawson Knives for the preparedness value of their knives that are made in the USA. DawsonKnives.com, the coupon code good through the end of this month, which saves you 15%, is AdamsJan, AdamsJan. And remember, there are two types of incredible steels, alloys that they have. They have CPM 3V and CPM MagnaCut. And they've been putting a lot of knives and swords and tools in stock. Or at least they've told me that, but they're probably getting sold as quickly as they're in inventory. But check them out for a, buy once, last forever knife, like a survival knife. They're incredibly, incredibly durable. And finally, I want to remind you that you and I have been warriors through the last several years. I think the war really started, or I should say the... Maybe war is not the right word, but the cultural fight started with Trump's election in 2016. That's when the censorship really cranked up. That's when the culture wars went into overdrive. That's when the globalists actually accelerated their plans to take down humanity. They had planned for Hillary Clinton to win, of course, and they were on more of a Agenda 2031 type of timetable. They accelerated it because Trump won. They knew that populism was rising, and they had to do everything to stop Trump. That's why they tried everything. That's why they invented the fake dossier and the Russia collusion hoax and ran all the fake propaganda from New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, all fake, all lies, all fraud. It was all known by them to be lies, but they ran it anyway. They completely trash their own credibility. How does anybody believe anything that comes out of those rags? I have no idea. They prove that they will lie on purpose to destroy a president that they don't like. But people like you and I have been through a lot. I want you to put it into perspective and understand that it's training. Maybe it's part of your Jedi training. The things you've been through, the battles you've fought, the disagreements you've had with family or friends. Maybe you've had to move physically. Maybe you've had to leave a job and change jobs. Maybe you've had to change, I don't know, something else about your life dramatically. You had to change where you shop. I don't know. Those are all just small, small moves preparing you for the much more rigorous challenge that is yet to come when the globalists pull the trigger on the far more devastating attacks against human civilization. And those attacks, I believe, are coming this year. You know, the spike protein nanoparticle attack, it was just the first wave. The vaccines were the second wave. And even that's still just scratching the surface. There are going to be multiple waves of these attacks. Going to be economic collapse, going to be power grid failures, probably another biological weapon, something very aggressive. There's going to be more attempts to rig elections, to start World War III, more attempts at censorship, more attempts at trying to provoke the population into an armed uprising of some sort so they can claim the people are terrorists. Well, I guess they've already claimed that. But all of these things are now being unleashed against us as planned. Supply chain failures, food scarcity. So prepare for food rationing. Muriel Bowser in D.C. has already announced a voluntary food rationing. It won't be long before that's involuntary. You're going to have food rationing cards, or you're going to have a biometric food rationing enforcement system, you know, like a thumbprint or an iris scan or something in order to buy food. Unbelievable. So get ready for all this. It's all coming. And the good news is we anticipated it. We can see it. And so we can prepare for it. It's kind of like if you're sitting on a beach and you look way out in the distance and you're like, there's a giant tidal wave coming, but nobody else sees it. What can you do in advance of a tidal wave if you have foreknowledge of what's coming? And by the way, if you can see a wave way out in the ocean, imagine how much bigger it gets when it reaches the shore. So what you can do is you can pick up and you can flee the beach. You might even scream at a few other people. As you're doing that, you might say, hey, everybody, it's a tidal wave coming. I'm getting off the beach. You should do the same. See ya. Right? And that's about it. And then you should go. And of course, everybody else on the beach is going to be like, oh, you stop being negative. We want to play volleyball and swim with the sharks and whatever. And then they're just going to get, murdered by the tidal wave. You can't save them all. That's a really good metaphor of what's happening in real life. You can talk to people about what's coming and say, hey, maybe don't be here at ground zero. It's like, don't be in the blue cities when the collapse comes, when the power grid goes down. But, you know, they will usually mock you and say, oh, don't worry, the government has us covered. They would never let that happen. Oh, really? They're the ones doing it, you moron. But can't help you if that's the place your mind is in. You're already deep in the death cult. Pray for you. All right, so that's about it. Talk to you tomorrow with hopefully a little bit more healed voice. Thank you for putting up with it today. As a little bonus, I'm about 50% done writing the best rap song of my life that first came to me when I was in bed over the weekend. I was trying to rest up and beat this whole voice thing that was kicking my ass. And this song just kept going through my head. I mean, it was a song well, it was, I guess it was lyrics that were going through my head. And I had to start writing up all the lyrics and adding to it and so on. And this is a powerhouse. I can't wait to get this thing recorded and do a little video and everything. So yeah, going to be another rap song from yours truly. Can't wait to get it out there. And and the title of it is I'm Back. Yeah, I'm back. It's not just about me either. It's about all of us. So I'll bring you that when it's ready. I can't wait. All right. Have a great day. Talk to you again in about 24 hours. Take care.